My situation is, to be very, very, very honest, that I have 3 Shastric references in my mind, and I'm not yet, I need a little time to find them. So I would request one of you to sing already the Jayaradha Madhava prayers. I will not do it myself. Now I'm a little irritated. Could Ika Chakra Gram be free to do this, or you needed him in the service of Lokanath Maharaj? Only, could he just sing Jayaradha Madhava, and after the 3 minutes he comes wherever you want him to go? Yeah? So please do this. You sing so nicely. I need one Bhagavad Gita. Really is, if we do it in the following format, I wanted to again bring the subject matter of this evening to all of your attention. It is emotions in Krishna consciousness. This I will do with a relatively short presentation. Then I will immediately open up with the forum for a question and answer session. Because it was felt that in the class, the first class, we did not have questions and answers, and therefore the suggestion came up from a few devotees to continue more or less, or have this more or less as a continuation of the class. I thought I will just give a short introduction so that every one of you knows what we were talking about, because some of you were not there in the class, and those of you who were there have a refresher so that you will put your questions to the subject matter. After the question and answer session, we might see if we can do a few new teaching styles. That is, I will give over some questions to you to solve, and then we will wind it up by drawing some conclusions. This is how we want to make the class. I do want to make it a little interesting, because it is a touchy subject matter. I hope that I can satisfy all of your desires, which will be difficult because due to the nature of the subject matter and the new angle which we take to this. Okay. Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanamine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Prachayine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskajare Yadayine Jaya Sri Vishnu Vedana someone who goes on in his or her life without eating. You might ask yourself the question, what does this have to do with our subject matter, please? The answer is simple. Just like our physical body needs food in the form of vegetables, fruits, and so on, Our emotional body needs food in the form of affection and love. If a person eats and eats and eats and eats, he may get a strong physical body for some time. But if he does not take care sufficiently that he feels satisfied in his life, and has good, balanced emotions, oh, he will feel so miserable, and after some time, his physical body will also show signs. In medicine, you can find out that a person's diseases, for instance, that he sits back badly and has back pains, can be a source of him feeling instable in his life. You can find out that ulcers in the stomach have this are due to being always worried and angry and so on and so forth. And you can find out that you a lot of mucus comes out of your nose because you simply have the nose full. That means you do too much and you are overburdened with stress. This is what medical people can tell you. In other words, our inner life, our is very, very important. Maybe even more important than our physical health is our mental health, our ability to live a proper life. Therefore, nowadays, there is a high demand amongst people that let us not measure a person's worth by his intelligence quota. Let us measure the worth of a person by his emotion quota. You know, IQ? We should, people say, we should get rid of the IQ and ask for the EQ. Because a person's quality in life is totally dependent on his mental equilibrium. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has therefore stated that even a person engaged in spiritual cultivation must take care of his physical health, mental stimulus, his inner life, and his social life, that is, friends. And finally, we must read in the Shastras. In our lecture, and I'm almost coming to the end, we said that our Krishna consciousness movement has reached enormous success in the spiritual cultivation, but it is also seen that sometimes devotees don't feel satisfied in all the aspects of their lives, and therefore, because of this dissatisfaction and these needs which they feel, they can even give up the process of Krishna consciousness. I will end my little presentation by telling you a story about this. Once there was an eagle. She was a she-eagle. She was flying over the countryside, and all of a sudden saw a brahmana who had just eaten but forgot to wash his hands. He went and immediately opened the holy shastra and read. And the eagle was so shocked to see this that in her shock she lost her egg, which fortunately for our story fell on a heap of grass or straw. There a hen found the egg and felt motherly instincts coming up. She sat on top of the egg and bleated it. It took a little longer than expected, But finally, a little eagle came out of the egg. And the hens wanted to immediately kill the foreigner. However, one wise hen said, no. Let us observe his growth. Maybe he's useful for our kindred, for our folk. The eagle grew and grew 4 meter, 4 meter 20. I'm measuring from one side of the wing to the other side of the wing. 5 meter. But it never thought of killing the hens for his food because he had an identity problem. He thought he was a hen itself. He was happy to eat the grains from outside of the stool and lived like a hen. Until one day a Brahmana came by. It was, by the way, the same Brahmana who was a little too eager to read the scriptures, didn't wash his hands. The Brahmana said, my dear eagle, fly. But the eagle was very sad. He had very sad emotions. And he looked at the Brahmana and said, kikariki. He felt very sad, but what could he do? Fly? It was not his. So the Brahmana thought, wait, you can fly. And he took him on his arm and threw him in the air. But the eagle immediately landed on the ground. He took him on the house of the chicken house, and threw him in the air there. He fluttered a little bit, but then helplessly landed on the ground. Finally, he took him on the mountain and threw him in the air. And the eagle still, it just managed to fly to the side of the mountain and then rolled down. The Brahmana said, don't waste your life with sad emotions. Rise, you are the king of the sky. The eagle sadly said, kikiriki. But the Brahmana was not someone to give up. He finally took the head of the sick, the emotion sick eagle, and bent it towards the sun. And when he looked into the sun, fully and wholly, he felt so happy and he screamed, wow! The scream of the eagle, a quivering went through the body. and flew very nicely over the ground, never to return back to the sad emotions. What do I want to say with this story? All types of emotional disorders come, according to our philosophy, when the eternal soul identifies with the temporary body. We are children of immortality. We are part and parcels of Krishna. Only when we are on the ground, so to say, in the material world, are we covered with a mind with very difficult emotions. By adopting the process of Krishna consciousness, where the Krishna sun rises in our lives, we can overcome these emotions and finally return to Krishna. But on the way to this, we might have to study the subject matter, emotions in Krishna consciousness. With this I have ended my presentation. This is more or less what I tried to say during the class. Now I want to answer your questions on the subject matter as well as I can. the reason why I'm doing it here and don't talk longer is because I gave already the lecture, said what I said, I stirred you all up. Now we will have, this was just a recapitulation of it, of some of its points. Now we want to ask, see your questions. Should I repeat the questions for the tape? I
think this one.
Oh yeah? Who has a question?
One of the problems it seems to me with devotees sometimes is that it's difficult to strike the balance between being humble and yet still retaining some kind of self-respect. Sometimes I worry that perhaps some devotees just that, you know, especially in their earlier years, they tend to lose all their self-respect.
Yeah. It seems to me to be a problem. Very good point. Have you all understood the question? Sometimes our devotee, what is your name?
Bhakta
Lion.
Bhakta
Lion? Lion. Lion, yes. Says, sometimes he observes in devotees a certain dilemma. They want to be humble because humility is important, but then they lose all kinds of, they lose self-respect and an unhealthy balance develops. There is a difference between humility and a minority complex. A humble devotee, humility is based on a spiritual understanding of ourselves as an eternal soul, part and parcel of Krishna. In fact, Sanatana Goswami says that humility is closest to prema, or love of Godhead. A minority complex, which can lead to a lack of, you know, a dwindling of the personality, and lead to some sort of, you know, lack of, you know, they feel just the self-respect has gone so much down that the person is a just a little heap of misery, so to say. A minority complex is something of a of an imbalance of feelings. It is sometimes due to the mode of ignorance, where a person just begins to say, oh, I'm so useless, I'm so envious, I'm so easily to be irritable, I'm so low, I'm nothing at all. And then he loses all enthusiasm to continue the enthusiastic devotion service. A humble devotee will, if it is correct, his humility is based on a spiritual understanding. He will feel joyful and enthusiastic to serve Krishna because he has developed some affection for Krishna. So there is a difference. Sometimes maybe what you have addressed in the name of humility, devotees are developing some minority complex, or even worse, they artificially try to be what they are not, and then get into some disaster in their own development. Yes, this is how I would answer the question. I saw that in Peter.
How can we make a clear distinction between spiritual emotions and sentimental emotions?
This is a very good question. How can we make a clear distinction between spiritual emotions and sentimental emotions? I feel that this question we have directly pointed on a very touchy point. See, when we talk about emotions, then immediately we hear, and I talked with one of with a few senior devotees, and immediately they were very worried. Oh, you have touched upon a subject matter which can be very volatile, because devotees can think that they should now take care of emotions and fall in what is called in Sanskrit the Bhava Sindhu, the ocean of emotions, meaning material emotions, and drown there. That is the reason why this subject is sending off alarm signals, most probably also in you. You want to be sure, you want to have spiritual emotions and not material emotions. So I would would like to quote in answer to your question a very interesting verse of Narottam Das Thakur. We all have emotions, and to deny them can result in very difficult situations. It can even result in the situation that you have practiced Krishna consciousness for a long time, and you feel so unreal and artificial inside in here that you feel like, oh, I have to give up the process and take on some modern psychology and so on. I have no one special in my specific in mind while I'm saying this. I'm just seeing this as a possible danger. Now, it's very, very difficult at the condition stage to have spiritual emotions. It is extremely difficult. And I cannot give you the answer, really, because spiritual emotions will come when you have purified your emotions. But I can tell you what you can do on the way to get spiritual emotions. Once, one Mataji always was crying before the deities. It was in the old times. And this Mataji was, I mean, everyone laughed about her, because I think we we know so much emotion. And she asked Srila Prabhupada about what to do, or the soul, sometimes I cry for Krishna. Prabhupada said, oh God, you are crying for Krishna. The idea is not we should not cry before, well, we cry before the deities, and we cry before the deities, but it's not mentioned to do it directly in front of the deities, and that's not so well. The idea is we can turn whatever we have to Krishna. Narottam Das Thakur describes this. Lust, he says, I will engage in offering the fruits of my work to Lord Krishna. If you are passionate Westerner, do something and give it to Krishna, and you will purify the lust. I have sometimes seen this in the lives of devotees, when they feel very full of this high, this energy of lust. If they become very much engaged in Krishna, they lose that disturbing factor of it. Anger I will direct towards the enemies of the devotees. Don't get a set of vampire teeth and just run after the non-devotees. That is not the best. Just, maybe if you can be in communications, or you can develop a good argument against non-devotee theories and so on. Greed I will engage by being greedy to hear the topics of Lord Hari in the association of saintly devotees. What I do with my greed, I collect a lot of books about Krishna. I'm a very greedy person by nature. So this can be done, by getting more information about Krishna. Bewilderment will be manifest because I cannot immediately attain my worshipable Lord. Lament! Oh, I'm so much admire, you know. And madness. Are you sometimes a little mad? No need to answer. Madness will be there when I madly glorify the transcendental attributes of Lord Krishna. Dance like a mad woman. In this way, I will engage each of these in the service of Lord Krishna. There's only one emotions of these six negative emotions. That's matsarya, or enviousness, that you have to give up, that you can't engage. So, taking this principle, I want to give you another trick. What I call this trick the Aikido method. When you feel that you are, that there are so many emotions going on and on and on and on and on and on, what you can do is you can go to the origin. For instance, when you are lusty, this happens. And you can't, your mind goes always to either a person or an object or the desire for recognition after which you totally lust. Then go and find out the origin of this feeling. Everything in this, let me say, lust for instance is a crippled form of lust, love. Originally, we love Krishna, but when we produce it towards the material energy, if we put it there, we become all lusty towards a body. You know, when you put that, that gets projected towards a body, you become that lust, which is love, which is so nice, becomes lust. When love becomes projected towards a poor person, it becomes compassion. Like Mother Teresa is positive. When love becomes projected towards money or wealth or so on, it becomes greed. So the origin of many of our emotions is simply the love which we originally feel for Krishna. And when you see that there are still some material emotions in you, or you have the feeling, I'm not sure if these are spiritual emotions, but maybe they are material emotions. Just go back to Krishna. And to the way where, or the place where Krishna very easily manifests in this world. See, sometimes, I think, Bhakti Petra, you would not be happy if all your solutions can be solved only in Goloka Vrindavan. That's too far, sometimes, isn't it? But there are addresses here where you can meet Krishna. Krishna says in the Gita, yes, he said, I'm not in Vaikuntha, I'm not in the heart of the yogis. Then where are you? I'm at the place where my devotee prays my glories. I'm coming now to this point. We can actually get in contact with Krishna and experience how our emotions get purified if we are together with Krishna conscious devotees. And this requires knowledge. You need to have a little skill. You have to know who is a Krishna conscious devotee and how to associate with those rare dinosaurs. These rare personalities. He's an older devotee. You have to serve him. If he is a younger devotee, well, we want to all the devotees' association. We have to question them, we have to somehow know how to open the treasure box of them by proper questionings. So this is an address where you can find Krishna, and then get, by coming in contact with Krishna, your material emotions will be purified, just like Narottam Das Thakur has mentioned. If you want to read this verse, which is very nice, it's on page 309 in the Vaishnava verse book. Anumanta.
Sometimes devotees, they have like a barrier where they don't want to have many exchanges with devotees. They don't want to not speak with them or get too close to the service. Yeah. So and it seems like they have some problem because they need obviously some exchanges. So yeah. How do we help such?
Some devotees have a barrier where they do not want to open their hearts to devotees. Yes, many of us were lone wolves before we came, for good reasons. Our feelings were so often disappointed and hurt. Such devotees, I feel, as devotees, we need to make it easier for devotees to open their hearts by being a little bit more personal. See, there are two extremes. One is the Bhava Sindhu, the ocean of material emotions, which is always churned. And the other extreme is the impersonalism. And our movement is sometimes, we are called the pendula movement. You know, sometimes this authority key J, then no authority. And the devotees who have studied sociologists have seen that devotees tend to be quite extreme in the world. You know, at one day marriage is Maya. That was in the early phases of the movement. Now marriage is the only safe place, and everyone has to marry, otherwise no hope for anyone. It goes really jump, 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 jump. So, and we are talking about emotions in Krishna consciousness. There is a very sentimental, oh Krishna, I saw you, and when the monkey took away my glasses, I recognized it was you who wanted to take my material vision away. And now I saw you behind it. Anyways, I don't want to really give examples like that. And the other is just very improper. I have to do my service. I have no time whatsoever. We have to find, in this atmosphere, where either this is the extreme or that is the extreme, we have to cultivate a normal forms of personalism. I also feel it starts with your own self. You have to recognize your own needs. And if you do have emotional needs as a person, you have to see how you can satisfy them in a Krishna conscious way. I had a Mataji who came to me and said she suffered so much. She only lived in I have to chant my 16 rounds. I have to do my service. I have to drink a glass of milk. I have to go to bed at 9 so and so. And after some time she felt so. Like walking in an iron, how are they called, these knights? Armor. In an iron armor. And then she said, I had to break this. And what I did as my therapy, I went to a love movie, The English Patient, and then I just cried for 2 hours in the cinema about all this thing. And then I felt like a normal human being again. this was her therapy. Now, the point is that this is a dangerous therapy. It might be good that she has, that she had broken it up, and the English patient has put certainly seeds of lust in her, which will one day want fructify, or which will take labor to work out of the. I must say, I don't know what is in the movie. I don't want to know also. But I know it is a love movie, and that's what she told me, and that's. I know what it means in the material world, in the movie industry. I asked him, what did they keep the principles, the lovers? No. That has brought a very dangerous element in her life. I would suggest, if you feel you have to show some emotions, read this book, Raja Leela. Have you read it?
Yes.
Have you cried?
Yes.
Good. At least my Jesus. My Jesus are more strong on the intuition and emotion sides. I read it when I was very desperate in my life, and when I read it, it also got me. I'm not ashamed to say, and I felt very relieved after some time. So know how to solve this in a Krishna conscious way, I would say. And yes, Anumanta, I took your question to go a little bit on a tangent, but I have to also answer your question. How to make it easy for devotees who are just so cramped up, and they are just so, they are like a volcano which is a block on top of the volcano, which doesn't let the fire come out. Or usually what happens to these devotees, it comes out in another way. They're very rigorous, and they are very, very aggressive sometimes. They always want to show that they are on top of it, and they are controllers and so on. We have to have an encouraging atmosphere. I remember once a lecture here in Radhadesh, where the devotee gave a beautiful illustration of how the atmosphere in a temple could improve, and that is by seeing what a devotee could become, the possibilities. Prabhupada always saw us like this. He said, he talked about this to us. He said, my disciples are pure devotees. They can chant Hare Krishna 24 hours a day without feeling tired. He always saw us in what we could become. We were not pure devotees at that time. The fact that so many left the path shows this. And so the illustration was like this. There was a monastery, and no one came as a neophyte or as a layman to the monastery, and no one joined the monastery. So in the end, there were only four old knackers, four old men left. So the abbot of the monastery decided to somehow solve the dilemma, and he went to one hermit in the forest and told him, our monastery dies out. We are only four left, four old people left. What to do? And the hermit didn't really give an answer immediately. He just said, isn't it bad times, and no one is interested in this godly life, and so on. But in parting, he said to the abbey of the monastery, one of you, I know for sure, will do something wonderful. When the abbey came back, the other monks asked him, what did he tell you? He nothing really. He also lamented that it's such unfortunate times. But he said, one of us will do something wonderful. Oh, they went in their little rooms, each for themselves, and thought, who could that someone be? Maybe it's Brother Timothy? Well, he's very old, but who knows? Or maybe it's Brother Christian. But he's a little... but maybe it could also be... No, I don't believe so. I'm a little... Yes, time is over, and so on. But so next morning, when they sat together, they looked at each other with the eye that maybe so and so is becoming wonderful, and this created a lot of appreciation and love, this vision, and as a result, they felt very encouraged. They became almost like blooming young boys again and attracted a lot of attention, and many people joined the monastery. Amen. That's a story. It's a Christian story. But the point is, I believe, well taken. If we make an encouraging atmosphere, then it's good. And our Vaishnava tradition is open for this. I always feel like this when I come to the Radhadesh temple and I see our Hridaya Chaitanya with his heart overflowing with kindness, and then he said, and we want to greet all the Vaishnavas, and we want to greet Sachinanda Swami. I feel, oh, whew, I'm welcome. Wonderful. You know, this is very important. We have this. When a Vaishnava comes, we should give him a warm welcome. Even in our tradition, if we have nothing, at least we give him a place to sit, some nice words, and a glass of water. And if we have nothing of it, then at least we have no place for sitting. It's full maybe. Or we have no water. Difficult times, you know. But at least some nice words. And by building up this encouraging atmosphere for one and all, devotees will feel the possibility to open themselves up. In a lecture of Raranath Maharaj, he criticized one, you know, when there is a bad rumor, let me say like this, sometimes we are not very confidential with each other. And therefore devotees feel shy to open themselves. If it's something unusual, and they open it, themselves up and tell it to someone, next morning it's all overcome, and all the different 190 temples of ISKCON have received a fax, that such and such devotee did such and such, he told me, Or, another thing with the about confidentiality. Sometimes you have received a confidential message from someone, and then you go to someone. Yesterday I was with Krishnadas, and we had a real nice discussion. Yeah? Really? Tell me. Well, Krishnadas told me some real confidential things, but I can't tell you, Prabhu. I told him it was confidential. Really? This sounds interesting. I think it was not so confidential. At least I could hear it. And at this moment, the devotee who has this confidential news in his heart is really put to a test. One of the tests is that if I don't say it, then I'm not so important. I look more important if I say it. I really know Prabhu's what Harikesh Maharaj told me in a confidential discussion. And then if you ask me, what is it in a, And, but if I tell it to you, I'm very important because I'm next to an important man. Or at least next to an important, let me say, subject matter, an interesting subject matter. So the bite on the tongue is sometimes difficult because we feel we can become important by revealing this important news. That's one of the reasons why we break the walls of confidentiality and just spill it over and create problems to the devotee. Therefore, sometimes devotees, they go to a psychotherapeut, and then you ask the Prabhupada, why did you do this? And he said, I don't know. Prabhupada, we have the best philosophy. Yes, I know, I also believe.